Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1989 with the release date of Friday, December 11th, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams in India struggle to help the nation's flooded south. The founder of Ham Radio Outlet becomes a silent key. Boston area amateurs are already planning for the city's big marathon. And get ready to do some real DXing with Pluto, the so-called dwarf planet. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1989, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now reporting from Charleston, West Virginia, here is Jim Damron in 8TMW.
We open this week's newscast with a developing story as flood-soaked Chennai, the fourth largest city in India, struggles in the aftermath of devastating floods. And the hams who've been looking to give assistance are struggling too. Even radio amateurs who've been able to travel to the area to provide emergency communications are being challenged by a scarcity of available power, as many of the batteries in their portable gear have long since discharged. The International Amateur Radio Union in India told the ARRL that an emergency net was established on 7.070 MHz, and amateurs who are able to have also been making use of some local repeaters. Some news reports indicate that the band at 14.160 MHz has also been put into use for contact with the National Institute of Amateur Radio with the special call sign AU2MTT. The president of the Amateur Radio Society of India, Gopal Madhavan, VU2GMN, reported, however, that with so many areas surrounding the city being underwater and cut off, ground transportation has been impossible, and even hams who want to travel to give assistance have been unable to get out. Madhavan told the ARRL that, quote, efforts are being made to garner more hams into relief activity as soon as they are able to move out of their locales, end quote, adding, the situation is grim. He was optimistic at midweek that with the floodwaters receding, the hams will soon be able to do more. The amateur radio community has lost a businessman, a friend, and a devoted advocate and de-expeditioner. Robert Ferraro, W6RJ, the founder of the National Ham Radio Outlet Chain, became a silent key on December 4th. Amateur Radio Newsline's Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, talked to Ferraro's longtime friend and associate, Chip Margelli, K7JA.
Robert Ferraro, W6RJ, became a silent key December 4th at the age of 78. A former California state trooper, he's remembered in ham radio circles as the man behind Ham Radio Outlet. Longtime friend Chip Margelli, K7JA, knew Bob well.
Well, Bob was really a great ham number one, and obviously a very successful businessman. I first met Bob in the late 60s. We collided in a lot of pileups on a 75-meter phone, which is to say that I got bruised and battered any time I went up against Bob in a pileup. He had a very, very good antenna system always. And we kept in touch for many, many years, went to the Burlingame initial location of HRO very soon after he acquired it, and have had a connection of one kind or another with Ham Radio Outlet through the years through dear friend Jim Rafferty, M6RJ, who's also a silent key, and then my wife Janet KL7MF, who's been the manager of HRO in Anaheim since Jim Rafferty passed away. And Bob throughout has been a very steady factor, very, very much in tune with the marketplace, no wild schemes, no crazy promotions, just excellent prices, and above all, excellent service for his customers, because he wanted his customers to be treated like he would want to be treated if he were going in to buy something at a retail establishment. And because of his love for ham radio, he wanted to give the hams here in the United States an opportunity to have a great buying experience. And then after hours, he peeked back on 80 meters in recent years with a three-element rotary beam way up high in the sky. He just loved 80 meters, and he loved being a ham.
So tell me a little bit about how Ham Radio Outlet came to be.
Well, it was an existing dealership in Burlingame, California, right by railroad tracks. It used to be a railroad station, in fact. And Bob, when he was looking to retire from the California Highway Patrol, enrolled in some business classes. I got to be quite the student of accounting, I'm sure. And although I don't know the exact circumstances of the acquisition, in 1971 he was able to buy the first store in Burlingame, and then it expanded throughout California. It opened a store in Van Nuys, and then another one in Anaheim, and of course in the Bay Area with stores that are now in Oakland and Sunnyvale. Then through the years, the chain expanded dramatically through acquisition of other stores that where their owners wanted to retire or something like that.
We'll have Chip's more personal memories of Bob Ferraro next week. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
Even with the Boston Marathon still months away, local hams have already gone into training to build up some endurance of their own. The April 18th, 2016 event will rely on the efforts of an estimated 300 amateur radio volunteers who will cover the 26-mile course with the assurance of reliable emergency communications. The Boston Athletic Association's Communications Committee is already warming up, and this year they'll be flexing some high-tech and digital muscle. Committee member Matthew Foreman, K6MCF, told Amateur Radio Newsline in an email, "A major initiative of the committee this year is to bolster the technology we use on Marathon Monday. To do so, we're forming a technical infrastructure subcommittee and seeking amateurs who can offer current skills in analog and or digital modes, UHF, VHF, repeaters, and infrastructure. We'd like to have the TIS consist of one technically seasoned member from amateur radio clubs in Massachusetts, southern New Hampshire, and the northern parts of Connecticut and Rhode Island." Committee member Mark Richards, K1MGY, will work to get word out about the subcommittee among clubs and other special interest groups. By April, everyone should be in the running, especially the hams. A new club for hams is starting up in the Ozarks of Missouri, and it promises to be a much-needed resource for local amateurs. Matthew Chambers, NR0Q, has the details.
Radio amateurs in the Missouri Ozarks are in the process of organizing a new amateur radio club. The Wright County Outlaws Amateur Radio Club members met in November and elected a board of directors and officers. They will meet again in January to vote on a constitution and bylaws. Primary mission for the club will be Skywarn and Amateur Radio Emergency Communications in Wright County, Missouri. They will meet at the Wright County Emergency Management Agency in Hartville, Missouri. Reporting for the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Matthew Chambers, NR0Q in Mountain Grove, Missouri.
The UK has 530 fewer licensed radio amateurs as of this month. Following notice it gave to hams earlier this year, Ofcom has made good on its warning and revoked the first batch of licenses that went without the required validation process. The Ofcom website has a list of the call signs affected and a copy of those notices of revocation. The office said there are at least 15,000 such licenses that still remain unvalidated and will, over the course of time, also be revoked. Ofcom requires radio amateurs to revalidate their license at least once every 5 years. So if you want to stay on the air, be sure to check that your license is current and contact Ofcom for further details. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including W0EF, the Twin City FM Club repeater in Plymouth, Minnesota, Saturday mornings at 9:30. No matter the weather, the sun is always shining on Skywarn Recognition Day, which this year was Saturday, December 5th. At National Weather Service locations around the country, volunteer radio operators connected with other amateurs for 24 hours, reaffirming their commitment to keep the lines of communication open when severe weather strikes. Forecaster Mary Kaiser, KE5TXH of the National Weather Service in Birmingham, Alabama, told amateur radio newsline's Hap Holly, KC9RP, about how this special day underscores the important role hams play.
River forecast centers, the ham folks, we appreciate them immensely. They play a great role for volunteering their time to come here and help us out, get reports from across the area from our skywarn storm spotters during various events, and not only for severe weather, sometimes they'll help out for winter events. One of the good things is that ham radio operators can come out not only in severe weather emergencies, but during any form of national type emergency when ham radio operators are needed, when communications can be down, and a lot of times with severe weather and bad weather, that's when the communications can be poor. I believe over 122 weather forecast offices across the country. Yeah, headquarters is in Silver Springs, Maryland. We're the Birmingham, Alabama office, located in Calera, Alabama, about 25 miles south of Birmingham. We do have ham radio equipment at our office, and each office has their own various call signs. Volunteers from these ham radio alert groups organized in each area on their own, and will come in and work events and also sometimes do different call-out events as well when they're trying to make contacts. We do skywarn training across the nation. Meteorologists from the various offices will give, not just for ham radio operators, but for anyone who wants to be a storm spotter or just have good weather safety information, to know what to look for, what's important information we need here at the office, and what's good to look for to keep people safe. We have been very fortunate in the area lately, and we have not had a great deal of severe weather this year, as we have had our share many times. We have been very fortunate this past year where we've had a couple of events, but nothing as of recent years, especially as in 2011. Everybody has their role to play in severe weather operations, and the hams play a very important role. Everyone has their defined jobs, and we tell the hams what each job means, and a lot of times, it's easier for them to communicate reports with us and for us to feed information about what's currently going on with the weather to them. So it works pretty well. I think the most important thing for anyone, whether they want to be a ham radio operator to work with the weather service or just for any person in the general public, is to be weather aware, try to learn about the products that the weather service issues and to know how to react when we issue those products. I can't stress the importance of being severe weather aware. And if you do want information on training for severe weather preparedness, you can go to our website at weather.gov.
That was Mary Kaiser of the National Weather Service talking to Hap Holly, KC9RP. The Northern Arizona DX Association has come to think of Pluto as the little planet that could, or in this case, the downgraded planet that still can. The radio amateurs are marking 2015 as the year of Pluto and are operating special event station W7P through December 13th. The station will operate out of the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, the very observatory from which astronomer Clyde Tombaugh discovered Pluto in 1930. Although Pluto has since undergone a celestial demotion to dwarf planet, there's nothing small about the DX Association's commemoration. The astronomer's nephew, Doug Tombaugh, N3PDT, will be a special guest radio operator, and a number of others will be on the air from the interior of the actual telescope dome where Pluto's discovery was made. QSLs and a certificate will be available. For more information, visit the NADXA website, www.nadxa.com. And on the outside chance anyone snags a QSO coming from Pluto itself, that would be the ultimate DX. The Canadian Amateur Radio Hall of Fame has named Larry Price, W4RA, as its inaugural honorary member. Price, President Emeritus of the ARRL and the International Amateur Radio Union, has been an active leader in the amateur community for more than three decades. He was president of the ARRL from 1984 to 1992 and president of the IARU from 1999 to 2009. He's a life member of the ARRL, also belongs to the ARRL Maxim Society. Last year, he was named Amateur of the Year at the Dayton Hamvention. The Canadian Hall of Fame Board of Trustees said his nomination by the Radio Amateurs of Canada comes after many years of support to that organization and amateur radio in Canada in general. He will be formally inducted into the Hall of Fame early next year. Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline. Amateur radio has achieved a new summit in New Zealand, or several new summits, literally. The nation's hams are now able to participate in this worldwide activity following the mapping and checking of summits for the North Island. South Island summits will follow next. Warren Harris, ZL2AJ, the association manager for SOTA New Zealand, has encouraged all hams to climb to the heights, even if they're not necessarily mountaineers. In urging the amateur community to get on board with this worldwide activity, he said recently, "I am keen to encourage SOTA activity. I'm available to give some branches a talk and to provide advice and encouragement to fellow hams." There is also a Yahoo group that supports interested hams in New Zealand. He asks that hams wanting more information write him directly at warren@zl2aj.com. And then, climb on up. Joel N5JR will be working from Haiti as HH2/N5JR until December 14th. He will focus primarily on the work bands, but he can also be found on all HF bands 160 through 6 meters. Send QSL cards to his home address. William K2HVN will be active from St. Barthélemy in the Caribbean from December 12th through December 17th, using the call sign FJ/K2HVN. He'll be working 40 through 10 meters in both CW and SSB. Send QSL cards to his home call sign. In France, a special event station connected to the United Nations Climate Change Conference is operating as F8DVD. The station will be on the air until December 13th, and a special QSL card will be available. Ravi M0XUU/VU3HPF will be working from Cassane and Gaborone from December 22nd through December 30th, working the bands primarily in the mornings or evenings holiday style. He'll operate on CW and SSB across 40, 30, 20, and 17 meters. QSLs can be sent to his home call sign, M0XUU. We end this week's newscast with more on-air adventures of Santa Claus, whose Yule log has been looking more and more like an amateur radio log these days. It seems 2015 has presented more than a sack full of opportunities to CUSO with the big guy, thanks to amateurs with spirit, imagination, and a little creativity. For the first time this year, the Battleship Iowa Amateur Radio Association, using the call sign NI6BB, is providing a round-the-clock connection to Santa's Shack in the North Pole on December 16th and 17th. Organizers who will be spending the night aboard the Battleship Museum say that Santa's own XYL, Mrs. Claus, may also put in an appearance on the HF bands. In New Jersey, the Santa's Workshop special event station W2S is on the air through December 23rd, with support from the South Jersey DX Association and the Old Barney Amateur Radio Club. Never mind Christmas cards, this Santa is sending personalized QSL cards and Chuck W2CCW as serving as Santa's QSL. And although the Barrow Amateur Radio Club in Bethlehem, Georgia, already concluded their special holiday event earlier this month, Old Father Nine Christmas, OF9X, has just begun the long journey through the land of Santa again, starting at the Arctic Circle, for the benefit of the Finnish Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund. That journey doesn't end until December 28th. So that's not QRN you're hearing through your headphones, it's jingle bells. Turn on your rigs. It's beginning to sound a lot like Christmas. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, Bruce Spurka, KG7MXL, CQ Magazine, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Hindustan Times, Matthew Foreman, K6MCF, Northern Arizona DX Association, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, QRZ Now, SOTA New Zealand, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website, located at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write to us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT, at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Jim Dameron, N8TMW, in Charleston, West Virginia, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015, all rights reserved.